Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the big tech stories that there are. We've had a rapid guest meltdown today, but Greeny stepped in manfully. Camps, who wasn't going to be here, has turned up and he's here, which is brilliant because we haven't seen him for a few weeks. So it's all go. Things are happening. Normal show-ish. Ish. And here's the best bit. Our Belgian-Irish bloke's back. Bart, how the devil are you, mate? I haven't seen you since you were about a stone heavier.
I'm doing grand. I'm doing grand. You know, busy, but good.
Excellent. You look in fine shape. How much have you lost now?
I don't think any more since we were last talking. My intention was to get down to about 60k, and I've been at that for the last year now. So,
Christ, the last time I was steady. 60k, it was 7. Maybe. It might be a bit older. Well, you're looking well and you're sounding well, mate, so that's good. Apart from your camera.
I was going to say, we've had to hack a little bit, people. If you think that looks like the photo booth interface, that will be because it is, in fact, the photo booth interface being screencast. Because desktop sharing works fine, but actual live video doesn't, which is just weird.
That is kind of weird, yeah, definitely. But it's a great feed. It's all right. I don't mind it.
Hey, look, it's better than nothing, right? I thought you were going to be looking at a photo of my face, and you get to see the real me, you know, bobbing and weaving and, you know, everything.
And it's nearly in time. That's not the end of the world. Next to him, William Green, our super sub off the bench.
Hello, old chap.
Like David Fair.
I'm the one who scored the goal, I'm sure.
You will. Of course you are, mate. You're our goal scorer every week. How the devil have you been, mate?
Oh, not too bad.
You got some furniture back from the studio.
Yes. So I've got my little house and I've got my lights and my smoke machine, lasers and everything in the bedroom. That's good. In the lounge, I've got my old chairs and stuff back, mixing desk and everything. So I'm all good to go, really. It's rather nice. Ian, your advice. I need to connect my mixing desk to my Mac, and I'm trying to figure out really what the best option is.
You want the interface that James has got,
right?
Which I can't remember the name of, Fire something or other, or you can get a Fire Studio from PreSonus, something like that, a small thing from PreSonus, just a USB connection of some description will do you just fine.
And that works okay.
Yeah. But whether your Mac is powerful enough to deal with it or not might be an issue. But something simple you can get like little USB interfaces that are about the size of a matchbox, just to put a 3.5 mil in for about 15 quid on Amazon.
Uh-huh. I'll do it.
I should find you one before the end of the show.
Awesome, thank you.
And send it. And last but by no means least, our man who has been working his little arse off, which is why he's not been here. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, not bad. Sorry, you banked out for a second then. I missed why wasn't I here.
I just said you've been working his arse off, so you've not been here.
Work has gone absolutely nuts over the last few weeks, and we've had a few family things to sort out with parents, looking after them. It's been a busy few weeks, so yeah, sorry I've not been about.
Yeah, no, so glad you're here, mate. Because you were looking after the kids. You were down to come last week, and then the kids wouldn't go to bed.
No, there wasn't, yeah. Last week, Seth royally played upon me. My wife nipped out. She was out with her parents, and really, really played up for me last week.
Good lad.
So, and I would have brought him, if I could have trusted him to stay quiet for any length of time, I'd have just brought him on, but no, that won't happen.
He's got the parent critical gene, mate. He knows when you need him to be good, so he's bad.
Absolutely.
Yeah, don't worry. He turns up when he gets to 14. Markedly. We shite.
Something to look forward to then.
Bobby in the chat room has already dived in. He said a PreSonus interface, they're good. And he's also said that Focusrite is the one that I was thinking of for James. Dead right, Focusrite.
I've got an old M-Audio 410 that uses it. On the back of it, it uses
is that FireWire 400 though?
Yeah, it is FireWire 400. But I did look into cables, and you can get FireWire 400 to What are those connections on the side of the Mac? I can't
Thunderbolt. USB?
Thunderbolt? No, the other one.
Thunderbolt.
Yeah, I think it is Thunderbolt, isn't it?
Yeah, but you haven't got Thunderbolt on yours, have you? Your display port. That's on your display out.
I don't know.
If you're on the original Air that you've got, that's only a display port out.
I don't know.
Not Thunderbolt.
This is a MacBook Pro.
Oh, okay. If it's a MacBook Pro, it'll be fine.
It's got little symbols. I'm looking right now. Looks like lightning.
Oh, that's it. That's a Thunderbolt connection then. So you're right. Yeah, you just need a Thunderbolt connection to FireWire, Stone Age, and you're in. Life's good.
It's never going to work, is it?
We'll be rocking it out. The smoke machine will be going. The local residents will be calling the fire brigade because I think you're on fire.
Oh, I've got my speakers as well. They're in my bedroom too.
I'm intrigued with the smoke machine and the lights stuck in the bedroom.
Mate, the shit he gets up to when the lights go out for everywhere around him. There's a BBC.
Well,
there's a Channel 4 documentary in that, I'm sure.
It's, I love it.
Rick Cobb has put in the chat room Amazon.com Behringer UCA222 thing, which is pretty good. Like Behringer, they're excellent. So there you go.
Oh, Bobby's put Thunderbolt to FireWire cable works fine.
Well, you're all, so my audio interface is a Fire Studio, PreSonus Fire Studio, with 7 inputs. And that's a FireWire 800.
Uh-huh.
It works just fine. It does work just fine. It works on the Mac Pro and it works on the MacBook Pro. Perfect. The week in tech. Not much has gone on this week, I don't think. There's a few contentious issues that will get a debate going, and I'm sure Bart is going to start us off with his story because this could get an awful lot of crowd participation from the Slack room as well and the chat room.
Well, I hope so to some extent. So the good people at Twitter have decided to lie through their teeth and pretend that the web interface is somehow the best possible user interface for Mac users. So they did a bit of a, like Steve Jobs trying to sell web apps as the best possible iPhone apps. They tried to sell us all a bit of a, if you'll excuse the phrase, shit sandwich. They're saying, no, we haven't forgotten about Mac users. We're just giving them a consistent experience, which is better. They killed the Mac Twitter client.
Mac desktop.
Yes, the desktop client for Mac for Twitter is dead.
Yeah, it's gone.
So they pulled it out of the App Store straight away, and they're giving us all 30 days to find a new machine or a new client of choice, and then they're killing it altogether. They're going to stop it working.
Oh, here we go. So, you're starting caffeine then?
Yeah, sorry, my machine is going to sleep while this hack needs a small amount of tweaking. There we go.
So I hope you've put notifications off, because if one that comes through from bigtits.com, then...
That's a good point.
Let's have a look at those. Who's that? I'll switch away from Bart's. Because
hey, I thought the do not disturb. Oh, there it is.
There it is. Yeah. On. You have to pull it down. There we go.
There we go.
Email. So, sorry, mate. I'll try and blank out any details that...
I don't think there's anything in there. 99.9% sure. Yeah, absolutely fine. Nothing there to worry about.
And Cam's videos is a bit charming. So you're definitely going to lose your Twitter for Mac, which I thought was a bit of a shit app anyway, because I've always been a tweet bot man.
Well, they've kind of, they let it languish, right? They bought a good third-party app. So they bought the company out lock, stock, and barrel, and then they just abandoned it. And so it froze in time because it was okay. And then it just, every other app just got better. Twitter added more features. And they never bothered their backsides. Like, I knew the writing was on the wall when they never added support for the extra long tweets to the Mac client. It's like, this is their big new feature. It's been out for weeks, and the Mac client doesn't have it. Twitter obviously don't give a bleep about their Mac users.
No, definitely.
And QED, they just, I guess it's better to officially kill it than to keep us in suspense. So now I'm trying to decide who to give my money to, and clearly there's only two, as far as I can see, there are only two contenders in the game. There's Twitterific, which is currently on a half price special, very clever of them.
Yeah.
And there's Tweetbot, which is very similar price, but not on a half price special. So right now they're actually very, very similarly priced, the two apps. But because Apple have still not given us trial versions of software, I'm left trying to decide on what app to buy for a slightly under 10 euro in both cases, with screenshots and a short text description. Now, Twitterific have a detailed list of all of their features, and I like what I read, and Tweetbot have a really crummy text description that is clearly hasn't been updated in years.
Right.
And it doesn't say all the things I want to see, and the screenshots don't let me see all the things I care about. So I'm just, everyone is telling me, like, if I did a poll, I asked my Twitter followers, what do you recommend? And the clear winner, hands down, was Tweetbot. Like, you know, ten people for Tweetbot, two people for, I mean, they're not exact numbers, but that's about the ratio. Like, it was the odd person said Twitterific, and everyone said Tweetbot.
So our and chat yet, room...
I'm still drawn towards Twitterific.
So far, only two people have actually typed anything. And both
well, that's okay. That's your live poll in your chat room. But I did it on Twitter a few days ago. I said, right, people, I'm going to have to fork over some cash. What do you recommend? And so the people of my Twitter followers are clearly Tweetbot fans.
Well, no, so everyone, that's what I'm trying to point out is that everyone's a Tweetbot fan because it's better. No one types. No, there's only two people typed so far in the chat room and they both type Tweetbot.
So based on a highly unscientific sample of two, 100% of people support Tweetbot.
I don't use a Twitter client on my Mac, but I do on my phone. That's generally where I use Twitter, and it's Tweetbot for me on there. But what I'm thinking is there a scenario, just like in the Apple Store, where you go, you get something, you try it, if you don't like it, you take it back?
You can sort of make the argument, yeah. You can buy it. I have successfully had a few refunds where apps were just completely garbage. Like, so I didn't feel in any way bad, you know, raising it, opening a ticket, and basically saying, "I want my money back. This is a crock of poop." But the thing is, neither Twitterific nor Tweetbot can be argued as being, you know, piles of poop.
I don't quite understand what the problem is. I just gone to my Twitter and I have got a few clients. But I think this one is just regular Twitter. It says
right.
Twitter.
That's going to die in 28 days and counting.
Yeah, it will stop working soon, mate.
Well, they have killed
it. It is no longer available in the App Store. They're going to allow it to access the APIs for 30 days from 2 days ago. So you think you're fine? 4 weeks from now, you are dead in the water.
Yeah.
So the app doesn't tell you this. You need to know this magically. I mean, this is how terrible Twitter have been about this. The app at no point gives you notifications. So how are you to know? You're going to find out in 4 weeks.
Well, I don't think it's worth worrying about. I mean, to be fair, I've got Tweetbot and a few others. And
you'll be fine then. Just sign up with Tweetbot. The only problem you're going to have, Grinny, is if you can remember your password.
Well, that's all right. Or is it all right? Yeah, no, it is all right.
You've got it written down on a piece of paper.
Something post-it now.
I use the online thing quite a bit as well. I use Chrome, and that's quite clever that it sort of stores all your passwords and stuff like that. So even if you don't know your password, you can go to Chrome. Chrome is ace, isn't it? So much better than Safari.
No, not anymore. Chrome was great up to build 59, and build 59 was brilliant. And build 60 is a bag of shit, and everything since is a bag of shit. And 64 is a bigger bag of shit than 63. It's like Skype. Every iteration just gets shittier.
Well, Firefox recently did a whole let's go back to basics and trim this thing down. So the very latest Firefox lost like all of its weight. I really hope Chrome do the same because it was a lean, light, sprightly browser and now it's a colossal resource hog piece of poop.
Yeah.
Well, I like it. Flash works okay with me.
Flash, the USP of Chrome was that Flash was included. And it was sandboxed, in effect, to a certain degree. It didn't have to install it on your entire system. It would just run within Chrome. And that was brilliant.
And it auto-updated, so you were secure by default, which is a big deal for family members. I always recommended it to family who are not tech-savvy because then they could have Flash without, you know, major risk of doom.
And now nearly everything I've got that I used Flash for, I've got an uploader for a Flash uploader for a customer where I send them images. None of it works in anything from 60 to 64. And I have to delete it using setup, clean my Mac, and install 59, then do the uploads, and then when I close it, it updates to 64 automatically. So,
oh, jeez.
It's just
that's ridiculous. Delightful.
Oh, it's horrible. It's just friggin' horrible. I want to get rid of it, but I can't. I still need it.
But then you're going to have to install Flash in your actual system, which is even worse.
Never happening. I'd rather put 59 on, do the thing I've got to do, let it update, and then wipe it off next time I need to do it again.
Could you have a VM that you take a snapshot of the VM, just, you know, load up that VM and don't let it update its state, or just roll it back rather to the snapshot of the version that works.
I don't know. Yeah. How would you do that? Because the thing is, the second that you close it, it's bang, it's updated.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're using, say, Parallels or something, just snapshot the disk image, right? It has a single file on your Mac that is the whole hard disk. So take a copy of that with the right version, let it update itself, turn off the VM, and just copy back the version from before. Just roll back time for the entire virtual machine. Just take its hard drive back.
Okay.
Life is too short, I think. Personally.
I think that's a lot of work, considering all I've got to do.
Is it?
All I've got to do is get set up to roll it off, and then I just install
it. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, whatever works.
The chat room said, stop procrastinating, just get Tweetbot.
That does seem to be the message I'm getting from
Bobby Jensen.
Pretty much everyone.
It is, it's true, it's because it's the best. And Swamp Rat says, latest Firefox is a colossal resource hog on my desktop and laptop. That's why I use Opera, except for the BTN stream.
How quaint.
Opera's awesome. I'm a big fan of Opera.
Yeah. Which, but the BTN stream locks up every couple of minutes in Opera and Firefox, in Chrome, but it works fine in Firefox. I think that might be our fault more than it's there. But okay. Fair enough. Go on, Will. You were reminiscing about Opera.
Yeah. And the nice thing about Opera... So I've got an older Mac, which was kindly donated to me. And the only browser I could make really work was Opera. And it worked really, really well.
Well,
it's quick.
Opera was always the cutting edge, because Opera invented tabbed browsing. What else did they invent? They did loads of stuff, and they were always the first ones to do it for a while.
And then they became ad-supported, and they plastered an ad into the Chrome of the browser, and then they were booted off my machine so quick that they got whiplash and they've never been let back on.
Yeah, which is fair comment, but they were always the cutting edge for browser features, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, the Firefox, before it was called Firefox, was it Phoenix or what was it called back then?
Like, Netscape.
They invented a lot as well.
It was Netscape Navigator, wasn't it?
Oh, God, no. No.
Did that eventually come into Firefox?
Mozilla, I think. Is
the... Right, the same company did Firefox, but Firefox was a rewrite from the ground up, and the name Firefox wasn't the first name they had. It was initially called Phoenix, as in they're reviving the browser, but there was a copyright issue, so then it was Firebird for a while, and then someone went, you know, that's a terrible name, and then it became Firefox.
Firebird. Was that Thunderbird? Was that the mail client?
No, Thunderbird is the mail client.
He's the mail client, right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, which is...
I thought a lot of the basics came from Netscape for that.
No, it came from Mozilla, right? So basically Mozilla went, Netscape's a crock of poop with too much legacy. What would happen if we threw all of the code away and started from a completely blank slate based on what we learned from what's gone wrong with the Netscape code base? That's what Firefox is. Firefox is a do-over. Firefox is like Edge. Edge is Microsoft saying, take all of IE, shove it in the bin and start from fresh. And Firefox did the same, but long time ago. So arguably what Mozilla need to do is do it again. Mm. Throw it all in the bin again and start from scratch yet again based on what they learned from Firefox.
Cool. That would work. And if Skype could do the same, that would work. And if Chrome could do the same, that would work.
Actually, the problem is Skype have done the same. Microsoft did rewrite it. And the problem is Microsoft rewrote it.
Well, I have a friend. I have a friend of a friend who works at Skype. And one of the things that I heard back through them was that the major problem with Skype was when that Microsoft bought it, they do matrix management. So basically, there was no point in having a Skype head of product development because there was a Skype. There was a European Microsoft head of product development. So that person was then put in charge of all product development, all Microsoft products across the whole of Europe. And there was an awful lot of people that were dedicated Skype people got absorbed into the greater Microsoft framework or were cast off. And that's Skype, where it all fell down. Because
at least half of Skype is being killed officially. Skype for Business is going away completely. Now, Skype for Business was a dumb name because it's just Link rebranded. It was never actually the Skype code base. Mm-hmm. So they're killing that completely and merging that into Microsoft Teams, which actually makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that will free them up. But I don't know what they're trying to turn the regular Skype client into. It's like they're trying to make it into a social network or something.
Oh, it's horrid. It's just horrid. The last update of Skype was what forced us to use Discord. It was just so shit.
Well, you and just about every other podcast, there was this critical mass all of a sudden where every show I ever appeared on suddenly started saying, you know, yeah, I'd need you to install either Wire or Discord.
But the audio,
for the record, my opinion is that Wire is a gigantic piece of poop that makes Skype look stable, solid, and reliable.
Must be bad. Yeah, no, we tested Skype 1 week and we tested Discord 1 week and we were using it the next on both shows. There was no way we were going back to Skype after this. The audio's great. We've almost got lip sync. The feed's relatively solid. There's no chance that we're going back to Skype unless they.
Yeah, Swamp Rat in the chat room has just put in a fake news story that's been doing the rounds all week about Microsoft refusing to patch a Skype vulnerability. It was patched last November, according to Microsoft anyway.
There we go. So if you click on the chat, and if you want to know all the stories that we're talking about, or you want to know about the cool things that we do at the end, then you want to go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and you can find out about all of them. And don't click Swamp Rat's link.
Well, okay, it's directly contradicted by the Register, whom I don't really trust as a news source, but they're quoting a Microsoft spokesperson.
Oh, okay.
Who was very explicit start. About the fact that it is patched since November, so, you know. And the Register aren't always wrong. They're like the tabloid of security news.
Zero.
If we can make this sensational, we will. Anyway.
This guy's saying Microsoft has said it won't be rushing to fix the vulnerability.
So that news story came out first, and then the response from Microsoft was, no, not only will we have already.
Yeah. Well, that's really Irish, excuse me, Bart.
What?
It's like, not are we going to, but we have already. Not only are we going to, so we are going to fix it, but we've done it already. Sure.
Well, okay, we do speak a different version of English to you, I'll grant you.
Not only did we already
You should
it.
Actually, if you want to laugh, read the Wikipedia entry on Hiberno English. It's fascinating how different our English is to yours why.
No, I can believe that, definitely. Good story, mate. Which one are you going for, do you think?
I'm still leaning towards Twitterific, and I'm going to regret it, probably, but probably. Whatever it is, I'll toss a coin tomorrow, I think.
Definitely.
Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll just toss a coin. That's probably the easiest thing to do.
Right. Okay. So definitely. The thing is as well, I mean, I've had refunds from Apple, no problem. Because you know, if you don't do it regularly, then they're usually looking on quite favorably. I mean, I've had refunds on movies. I bought Cloud Atlas and I went, that was a bag of shit. Yes, I get about the thing and the thing going forwards and the linking of all the stories and that, but it's just bollocks. I want my money back. Mm-hmm. And they just said, yeah, no problem. And I did it with the Maze Runner sequel as well. I'm like, my kids really love the first Maze Runner. I really love the first Maze Runner. And then it's a zombie movie. Where the hell did that come from? Halfway through the second one, not interested. And if that's a spoiler alert, then that's 2 years ago.
It's been a while. I think you're okay on that.
Yeah.
No, I think I've got about 3 or 4 refunds over the entire lifetime of the Mac App Store. So you're right. They owe me one. So I guess I can.
Yeah, Apple. Let's be honest, but Apple aren't going to lose out, are they? Because whether it's Twitterific or whether it's Tweetbot, they're still getting the same 30% from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. They're both about €10, so that's about €3 either way. Yeah.
Yeah.
They can do
it. Go for it. They can afford it.
Tweetbot.
A subtle bit of neuro-linguistic programming there, do I detect?
No, I said Tweetbot. It wasn't subtle at all. who's got the next story then? Gamps, you're in.
I'll jump in.
Tell us about this one then, pal. Tells 1.2 million people.
Yeah, so Snapchat, I'm not a Snapchat user. This is probably one of the few tech stories this week that sort of caught my ear. And I think it just plays into the lines of where some of the social media companies think that they may know what's best for the users and how hard-skinned are they in terms of listening to them. So Snap have changed part of their UI, and essentially, from what I can gather, they've actually made, oh, in my eyes, a fairly small change, but in a Snapchat user's eyes, fairly large change in that they've separated the feed information from essentially separating out, let's say, your friends, your normal people, creating them out against either new sources or famous people, and therefore sectioning them off into two separate feeds.
I thought the point of that was to counter the whole fake news shenanigans and basically a response to differentiate between, you know, real news and chatter.
I think you're right, but what Twitter...
just hasn't worked, obviously.
What Snap are saying is that, no, they're doing it to make it easier for you to help understand the difference between the two types of feeds. Whereas users are crying out and saying, no, we actually like to feel that famous people are our friends and we like to see them all in one feed. And
well, that's a bit
there
depressing.
Has been a change.org petition set up. 1.2 million Snap users have all said, we're not happy with this. Yeah, Evan Spiegel, CEO at Snap, have said, we've heard you, but we're not changing back. You'll get used to it.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go on, because you're an old man. Go on.
Oh, no, actually, yeah, I stopped it there, didn't I?
You did.
Well
good
done,
lad.
Will. I don't really know what Snapchat is. So what on earth is it? What do you do with this thing? I'm guessing it's something to do with photos, because it's got the word Snap in it.
Absolutely. It's absolutely that. It's a social media platform that's based around short videos that auto-disappear after a set period of time, or photos.
And you can video chat to it. You can video conference to each other on it as well.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it started off as a way for teenagers to share pictures of their private parts safely.
And have them disappear after half an hour so mum and dad don't catch you.
So what...
But yeah, only that never worked.
Surely you can just take a screenshot, can't you? If you
bingo, you figured this out really quite quickly. Yeah, the whole system was flawed from the start, and people found that it left files scattered across your Android hard disk and stuff. Like, anyway, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, the whole promise of it's safe, it always disappears was never true.
So there you
and
go.
It's kind of moved on from that anyway, right? It's that's not really its shtick anymore.
Greeny, you're a teenager at heart. See,
I probably am. Yeah, but is it me? I mean, I'm getting a bit fed up with all these various social media iterations. I mean, there are so many now. I just stick to Twitter. I'm happy with Twitter. It works. It does its job.
Because you're an old man.
I know
I
am.
Born an old
Thank
man.
You very much.
I'm an old man too. It's fine.
I've tried Snapchat. I've got to be honest. It confused the hell out of me. Just the whole UI. I did not get it. However, I love Instagram. I kind of separate Facebook, sort of a bit close friends, family type stuff. I like Twitter, and that's primarily tech, and Instagram's where I put my running stuff, and I kind of separate it that way. And then if people want to follow me on one button, not on another, then that's up to them. That's their call. But I really like Instagram, and that's primarily photos. You can shove some short stories or short video clips on there as well if you want. And yeah. Snapchat is a very, very similar platform. But it just says, I mean, Instagram did, if I recall right, probably about a year ago, they made some changes to the UI. Didn't go down well. They rolled back. Snap seem like they're a little bit thicker skin than that, and they're happy to roll out. However, I'm just going to drop an extra link in the chat room, because one thing that I think is telling, I think could change things possibly, is that Kylie Jenner this week...
hang on. Do you want to stop there and just fill Will on who Kylie Jenner is?
God, do I know who Kylie Jenner is? So you've heard of Kim Kardashian? Will?
The old brain.
She's a huge US celebrity.
What does she do then?
Famous for doing nothing.
Yeah. Social phenomenon. Famous for doing nothing. Has 11 billion Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat followers, all that sort of stuff. her younger sister Kylie is doing extremely well in the whole social space. Is probably
I'm famous for doing nothing,
but not as famous as her. Will
not quite as famous as them.
Oh,
you've got a ways to go yet, mate.
Yeah.
So
do I need to grow a pair of tits? Is that it's and lose about?
So just to put the level on this,
you don't need to grow them. You could buy them.
Have you heard of Bruce Jenner, the runner?
Isn't he not Bruce anymore?
Well, there we go. See, so well, he's still got a cock. So yes, he is kind of, but he's now.
Oh, you and just step off the landmine.
Well, no, hang on.
Don't confuse gender.
No, steady on a second, because I'm gonna feel safe here in this one. So I'm all for people who are misassigned their body and sexuality, that they can express themselves how they choose to. That's fine, no worries at all. But this guy was in, well up in a TV show that was started by his wife that peeled off with the Kardashians and all that kind of stuff. He is an ex-runner, Olympic runner, who did rather well, with a flagging career. And it wasn't until the show started doing well that he suddenly decided he wanted to dress like a woman. And he said he wanted to be a woman, as in the whole shebang, having it all cut off. And he still hasn't. So we're a couple of light years down the line now.
Shockingly judgmental to assume that he couldn't be genuine. Like, shockingly judgmental.
But it's what you think as well.
Sorry.
But it's what you think as well.
No, it's not what I think at all.
Oh, okay, Bart. That's what I think.
Sorry, but how on earth do you know that he's not genuine? What?
I
when you get your willy cut off, can you give it to somebody else as like for a transplant or something like that? So it makes sense.
I don't know how well that works, Will, but I don't know. But that's not the story. But he was going to have reassignment surgery, and he still hasn't. And I just think
it's really dangerous surgery, and maybe he shouldn't have to do that for people to take him seriously. Maybe you don't actually need to put your life at risk for people to allow you to have the gender designation you choose.
He could be keeping his options open, though, couldn't he?
I'm just saying it's very judgmental, that's all.
It is. No, it absolutely agree with is. Me,
but it's a bit... I thought we'd kind of moved on a bit from that.
Well, hang on. There's a lot of people I look at in the press and the wider world who... I empathise with the grief or the struggle that they're going through, and I totally understand that they are going through something horrific, and I feel for them massively. This is a celebrity TV show where it all happened all of a sudden. That I think he's pulled the greatest masterstroke of con of the life, because he got a man won Woman of the Year. I mean, I'm sorry, but I think there's too much that is the negative dark side of celebrityism that is around it for me to take it seriously. And that's my view. I totally admit that's my view, but it's not to say that that's everyone's view, and it's not to say that all people who are transgender have got issues like that. And I do feel for them if they feel that they've been misassigned their body.
To be honest, what made me cranky is the notion that if you don't go for reassignment surgery, you're not serious.
No, I just think there's too much celebrityism around.
Like, I
know
people who are going through this, and that is deeply, deeply offensive.
No, I know people who are going through this as well, mate, and I feel for them absolutely. I don't think this bloke's in that ballpark. I just don't see.
Sure,
anything.
Fine. You cannot believe this bloke. But
I'm
just
talking
to say
about
that because
bloke.
He hadn't had his quote unquote cock off, that he's not serious.
No,
that's what I found.
I'm just talking about this bloke. There is too much around this that is just celebrityism, and it's too easy to pull the wool over people's eyes and jump on something that's hip because I think that's what he's done, and I think that is the biggest catastrophe of the whole thing. And I hate him for it, because I cannot see that there is anything genuine in this guy at all. When you see pictures of him, it's all overt, pulling faces, doing it for the celebrity of it, and it falls smack and wrongly into the whole process of it. It's not someone that I see who is genuinely transgender. That is my view, and that is only related to him.
Well, that's fair enough. I literally know him from the headlines.
Exactly.
So I don't know about him in particular.
That's the problem.
The general concept that I took issue with.
No, there wasn't a general concept. There was a comment about him. him only. He's the only person I'm talking about. So thank you for picking me up on that, because I'm glad to clarify, I meant him. No one else. Other people have got genuine gender reassignment issues. I don't think he has. That's my view. Oh, God, good story, Camps. Not.
Where do we come from?
I'll jump back in. What the hell's happened there?
What have you done? You started an advert, Campion.
Sorry, I clicked on a link. So where I was going with it is...
Now, you see, if you were using Safari, it wouldn't have auto-played any sound.
No. So what Kylie did was she tweeted out and she used Twitter and put, so does anyone, is it just me? This is sad. That tweet, looking through the various media articles, wiped £1.3 billion, so 7.2% off Snapchat's share price.
That's wrong.
23 hours later, she said, still love you though, Snap, my first love. So although Snap clearly out-listened to the 1.2 million people who signed the petition, I'm just wondering if some essentially a media icon as popular as Kylie could influence a change in Snap's decision based on impact to share price.
That's kind of wrong. I mean, this whole family is experts at media manipulation to their own benefit. Good on them. Well done. But I just, there's no way that a celebrity taking issue with something should wipe £1.3 billion off shares.
Huge.
That's ridiculously wrong.
I'm amazed. 7%, £1.3 billion. How is Snap worth that amount of money?
Yeah, so, all right, how many users does Snap have? Because 1.2 million sounds huge. Right, if someone says 1.2 million people on change.org, it's like, oh wow, everyone agrees with this. But if they have a billion users, then 1.2 million is less than a percent. So actually saying no to less than a percent of your user base might actually be quite smart.
Last article I can find is 158 million daily active users creating 2.5 billion snaps each day.
So it's a percent or two of people signed this petition. So maybe it's not so ridiculous for Evan to go, do you know something? Actually, no.
Well, no, 158.
Yeah, 158, so two out of 158 is a single-digit percentage.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't be bothered to. I'm guessing. What do you take a picture a day and upload it or something? Well, what do you do?
I mean, teenagers take pictures of their parts multiple times per day and upload it. And there's a lot of users.
It's just selfies, Will. It's a million selfies. The same selfies every single day. Sometimes they're holding a cup of coffee. Sometimes they're taking the dog
instead
for a
of
walk,
typing a tweet, I'm at such and such, they'll just take a selfie and post it. It's like tweeting without typing because that's too much effort.
Isn't that a bit boring? Isn't that a bit dull?
I don't do it, but I guess some people are into it.
2.5 billion snaps every day, say no.
Yeah, it's probably from one person.
Maybe it's Kyle.
I don't know. I've no idea. But I think there's a lot to be said for education for younger people, that everything you upload, once it's on the internet, it's there. It's there forever. And pretty much. And they need to think carefully about the type of stuff, photos especially, that they're posting. Opinions and text, again, you have to think carefully about it, but photos, for me especially, are very personal things, especially if they're inappropriate, and they need to think carefully, and schools and stuff need to really educate them.
I think for the last, maybe two, three years now, I brought a story in around, say, for Internet Week, around sort of how they've taken the approach of educating, say, for Internet Week at my daughter's school, and she's six. And this year, there was a fundamental shift in the way that let's say the education for the pupils, but education for parents as well, because parents get invited in for some sessions across each evening or during the day, some sessions with the teachers around understanding what your children are doing online and monitoring and safe internet usage and things like that. And I saw an absolute shift this year away from normal internet browsing, much more towards things like Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, and all of the other children-aimed social media platforms that are out there. And it was absolutely, it was even less than about things like YouTube and being aware of the videos they're watching. It was much more around information that they're sharing or have the potential to share online. So I think part of the mechanism is there, but parents obviously need to understand it, and there needs to be a responsibility on the parents to educate themselves as well.
There is a comment here from Deep Pan. Talking to kids about internet footprint being around forever is like talking to them about a pension plan.
That is immense.
That's a good point, yeah.
And I would like to issue an unequivocal apology to Caitlyn Jenner, because according to the Wikipedia article, if this is true, Jenner has undergone cosmetic surgery and completed sex reassignment surgery in January 2017. So I do apologise entirely for the comment I made earlier. It's clearly not that is a publicity stunt at all.
She may be playing it up for the media because I believe that's what the family do for a living.
Yeah, exactly. I do have. There's something distinctly dirty and nasty around the way that they manipulate the media to make money. But they've made it work for them, haven't they?
I mean, exactly. I guess it's hard to argue that they have managed to convince.
That is entirely aside from what I said earlier, and I apologise.
That's what pays for their pool cleaner.
Yes.
For years I thought I didn't understand why Star Trek aliens were on the news all the time. Because I thought they were the Cardassians, but anyway.
The huge Assians.
Apparently that's a thing, yeah.
Oh, Lardassians, that's what Swamp Rat call them. The Lardassians. Which I do think is excellent. I like
the should I read up on these people, or is it...
No.
There is so much interesting stuff on planet Earth. You know, it's way better things to fill your brain cells with than this vacuous... Yeah.
I've only got a few. I think about half a dozen now.
Right.
Save them. Don't rot them.
Use them for evaluating the best scotches that exist or something. There's so many better things you could do with them.
Yeah, I know. I need to treat them like gold. Yeah. Funny, isn't it, as you get older? But you sort of, in some ways, being sort of a tech journalist and that sort of stuff, you evaluate what is important and what is not. And I think it's maturity and age gives you that sort of ability to approximate what is of value and what is not.
Oh, I think that's there's a good point in that. Well, I think you are right. But having said that, I did not embrace Instagram at all because I found it a platform that just didn't understand it. I didn't appeal to me. I didn't get it. And then a couple of people have started coming and using the studio and hiring it off me. And they show me how they're using it and I'm blown away by it. And now I'm really into it for the studio as a promotional tool. And it's awesome. So I think sometimes you switch off from stuff with justification and rightly because you're older. But I think then there's a certain point where it lapses into the fact that you just don't get the younger stuff and you never will. And you might be wrong in that, but you are just old.
The thing is, as a business unit, it's important for you to not fall into that trap. But if it's not for your living, the hell with FOMO. Yeah, so what if you're missing out on something? There's so much else to do.
Totally. Will, have you got a story for us now that...
It's my turn!
Oh, dear.
No, well, yes. Yes, but no, but yes. You see, I'm down with the kids, even though it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say.
When was Last of the Summer... No, that's not Last of the Summer Wine. That's the Vicar Dibley. Actually, no, that was Down with the Kids, I'll grant you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm doing all right. I can still rock it. Oh, you want to see me disco dance in my bedroom? You'd love it. And the lights are going, and the music's going. You know, it's I'm totally awesome. Anyway, listen. I was going to talk about Mobile World Congress 2018. Holy and crap. The new stuff that's going on there.
That's a bit serious for you, isn't it?
Well, you know, I love technology. That's the... So in the morning, I get up, I have a coffee, I have a poo, and I get my laptop, and I look at the tech news of the day. That's the way I start my day. And I find it really interesting. And
so what's your favorite news reading app when you're having your poo?
Just BBC, to be honest. That's my starting
point. So you don't use an RSS reader or something. You're actually just going to the plain old internet.
The plain old internet. Yeah, that's...
Chatroom's asking for less detail, Willie.
Well, don't take photos of it and put it on Instagram.
Thank God you're not on Snapchat.
It's a good thing you don't use Instagram then, actually, yes, while we're reading the BBC on and taking a poo.
Yeah. Well, we all do sort of stuff like that. I do draw the line of bringing the coffee into the toilet, which I've got a mate who does exactly that. And I say, no, mate, you can't do that. Because, like, the bits of poo molecules will go into the coffee, won't they?
Moving on.
Mobile World Congress 2018. So we've got the big Samsung Galaxy number nine. That looks quite good, except really I think the only difference between 8 and 9 is the camera. They've put some tech into the camera.
It looks nice.
Yeah.
It's gone portrait-y with the camera as well, vertical cameras opposed to horizontal cameras. So.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because the amount of stuff you see, even on the BBC, that's all sort of portrait-y. Landscape makes so much more sense, doesn't it?
It looks like it's got 9 etched into the screen, which that can't be right, surely.
No, it's that's from the adverts. It looks like it's either on the back or on the front, but no, it's not. Yeah. The back is totally clear, and the front, that's just a...
I think
just
the back's a bit naff. I've got to say, I thought the 8 looked a better phone than this.
Do you think so? Why?
Yeah, I think this looks a bit retro, but not in a good way, like an 80s retro, the time that taste forgot.
Uh-huh. I don't know. Well, I'm not, I'm purely Apple myself, but...
So what's the name of this new phone they released so I can have a little Google for a picture?
If you go to Engadget, they've got a whole roundup of all of the things that you can expect from Mobile World Congress. So just type in NWC 2018 and it's the first response.
So apparently that they're going to release it on Samsung or on Sunday, which I think is the day before, 2 days before. I can't remember. Thingy. Nokia are quite interesting because last year they released these retro stuff that have done really well. And it'll be interesting to see what they come up with.
Well, they've released Android One, which is their new Android phone. That's coming at Mobile World Congress, which looks very similar to the 8, the Samsung 8. So.
Oh, yeah. I did visit their website this morning, and because apparently Nokia isn't Nokia, is it? Although a load of the staff are from Nokia. And this company, which I can't remember the name, they've bought the rights, haven't they, to use the Nokia brand and some of the Nokia intellectual
property.
Didn't
Nokia buy it back off Microsoft? Aren't they actually Nokia things again?
Yeah, but minus the patents. Nokia.
They bought their own brand back, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. They bought the name back.
Yeah, I actually had to double check the date on this webpage. Apparently, one of the big pieces of news is that BlackBerry is bringing out a phone with a QWERTY keyboard.
I've just got a picture for you here, Bart. Enjoy it. There we go. They're actually bringing out two phones with physical keyboards this year.
But it's 2018.
Well, you say that, but I've got to say, I used to love my BlackBerry Curve, mate. I used to type like the bloody wind on that keyboard. Way faster than I can manage now.
I used the BlackBerry Passport for years. Best phone I've ever had. Wonderful.
But they were actually very good phones. And for the Symbian era, they were great interfaces as well. They worked brilliantly. The software was good. And the keyboard was the best thing about it. There is a little bit of me that hankers for a physical keyboard. I loved my BlackBerry Curve keyboard. Flew on that. I absolutely flew on it.
I liked shell suits and stuff in the 80s too. I don't really want to go back.
No. But what I'm saying is, if you said I could plug a physical keyboard into the base of my iPhone and type with it, I'd probably carry that around with me.
You know, you can do that over Bluetooth, right?
Yeah, no, but I've got to carry a big Bluetooth keyboard around then.
I think there's a place for it in the market, but I think it's a small market, and I like chat and Instagram where you know pitch tells 1,000 words, and I think for your social user, for your normal mobile user, physical keyboard's dead. However, I totally think there is a place for somebody who needs to bash out an email on the go.
Yeah.
But I think that market is small in the modern era now.
Questions?
I don't know. It just seems like, you know, everyone wanted the Nokia brick. Okay, great. You have your Nokia brick again. But how big is that market really? And I know everyone wants, you know, there's been this long meme that everyone wants BlackBerry to do a new old BlackBerry. But I don't know. It just seems 2018 should be a good year for this brand's diehard fans. I guess, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like the biggest news to me. It's very strange to see that as the big news of 2018.
Yeah. There's a question in the chat room. Do they run Android OS now? And I've got a feeling, Mia, that they do. I think Deepan's right there, unless anyone can tell me different.
Well, that's progress, at least.
They're certainly not running...
Yeah, they do. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Deepan. They do run now.
Yeah,
I think what BlackBerry have got is, obviously, they've got the hardware that and then they're using app versions now of the, if I remember right, I can't remember which version it is, I think Bez 12, Bez 5, I think it's dead, I think Bez 10's almost dead, which is the BlackBerry Enterprise server. I think 12's still running, but they're using web apps now, and those web apps for email, web browsing, and this is to give the secure sandbox environment, is available on Android and iOS now. And I think BlackBerry's business, in my eyes, is those apps for your productivity tools. And I'm still a bit surprised that they're playing in the hardware market, I'll be honest. But yeah, certainly from the Engadget article, looks like two new phones this year, then they're not ready to back off just yet.
Is there a separation between RIM and BlackBerry now?
I don't think so. No, I don't think. As a long-term user of BlackBerry, I
know Lazaridis and what's his name, the twin CEOs, got bought off or chucked out. And I thought there was a thing where RIM was no longer an entity. Oh, I can't remember. But they had loads of patents. I mean, they reckon that their patents were worth about $4 billion on their own.
The big thing with BlackBerry, well, I suppose, so my last BlackBerry was a Passport, which I absolutely loved, and that was genuine BlackBerry OS, absolutely superb. They have moved across to Android. But if you think of, like, Android as the base, then they put their sort of award-winning security stuff on top of that, and then I suppose finally they've got their tried and tested sort of physical part to it, where you do get the keyboard and BlackBerry are sort of retro cool, aren't they? I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
Really?
Retro,
to me, the kind of thing cool. That the old John Hodgman I'm a PC character would think was cool.
Yeah, a little bit. I get that too. Deepan says RIM changed their name to BlackBerry, so I was kind of right there. RIM doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. Who can remember
that? Yeah, he changed his public brand from researching to BlackBerry.
I can't remember the name of the OS. What was the OS that BlackBerry?
OS 10 was the last one. That was their one.
No, what was their brand name?
They had one.
Yeah, they had a brand name and I can't remember it. It's like Symbian, but it's not, obviously, because that was Nokia, but...
And that was sold as well, because that's now running driverless cars and stuff, because it was a real-time operating system.
Oh, come on, chat room, help us out.
It's BlackBerry OS 10.
It's a core Unix under the hood, and it's been sold off. It has a whole new life outside of BlackBerry. It's a real-time operating system. It's really darn cool. I'm going to have to go Google this now.
You're not thinking Mobitex?
No.
That was the network protocol, wasn't it?
No. And you used to have to get a sock, didn't you? A data sock.
What?
You used to have to get a data sock with an... you had to buy the phone, and you had to buy your data plan, and then you had to buy a sock for it.
What did the sock do?
The sock was SOC. It was...
system chips.
But I can't... What was it called?
I can only think of BlackBerry OS.
How about a pull-out keyboard, says OK Google? Yep. No worries, Rick. I'll have that.
Well, the Curve had a pull-out keyboard, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't just... I know OS 10 was on the last one, but I'm sure there was a brand name for the OS, but I can't remember it. Doesn't matter. It's only BlackBerry. So are you going to... are you excited to see what's coming, Will, from MWC, or are you just going to look from your toilet seat with some giggles in your laughter about...
Well, I'm so immersed in the Apple universe that I'll never leave it. But I do find it exciting to see sort of what direction the rest of the industry are going. Because Apple, I mean, they're great. I love them. But they're a bit like, well, we're not going to show you our new phone. I wish they would. I wish they'd join in the party and show what they've got as well, because the whole sort of Tim Boring Cook stuff on stage, there's only so much you can take of it. I'm not a fan of the iPhone X. It's, for me, it's a step back, if anything. You know, that big chunk at the top. Whereas when I see sort of the Samsung Galaxy 8 or 9, I think that really is very beautiful. I think that with the light, you know, the little curves at the edge and stuff like that, I think they've really got they've got the step up over Apple when it comes to design these days. I don't like Android as an operating system. I think it's, Oreo at the moment, I think. It is what it is, but I'm not a massive fan. Mainly because you then have to sort of deal with all the rubbish or the different things that Samsung or whoever it is are piling on top of the core OS. And I love Apple because you know that if you get your phone, you could just have purely that core OS with no sort of stuff on top of it. I'm excited to hear about what Nokia's going to do and all of the other players, really, because that's, I mean, excuse me, these kind of events are the design game changers, aren't they? This is what people take their inspiration from.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what some of the smaller budget players come out with, just from an interest in where are they in the marketplace, and things like Wiley Fox have done some good stuff at a low end price in previous years, and I'm interested to see where are some of the budget brands gonna jump on the main players tech innovations, what they're gonna do with it, and where they're gonna come in competing on price.
Yeah, I've got to say, I think the phone market has not latched onto the fact that we're in a period of austerity, supposedly. And for what's actually fairly low-end increases in tech, they're charging exponentially more money, which, you know, the leaps aren't justifying the cost for a lot of people, which is why I think there's a downturn in play. I just, you know, you get little stuff that just makes you think, Christ, that's a big change. Ellis has started getting a paper round at the local shop. And I was like, how much are you getting paid? He said, 20 quid a week. I'm like, bloody hell. I was getting 13 quid a week when I was 14. So, you know, they must have, they must be pressing you pretty hard. You know, they can't be that much selective. And he only has 13 papers to deliver in the morning. And I said, Christ, how many paper boys are there? And he went, two of us. Really?
God, newspaper? I remember. When I had my paper,
I had 40 papers
on
mine.
There used to be two big bags. I had to shove one of them under a hedge.
Yeah, I used to carry 40 papers to deliver in the morning. I had to go back in the evening and do another 40 papers. And on a Sunday, I had to take me round in two halves because I couldn't carry it all. It was so heavy.
Yeah. I remember them days.
Yeah, and now 26 papers. That's it. That's the full delivery for one shop. 26 papers. Jesus, it's great.
It's the papers are getting thinner. The Sundays have always been a big semi-religious festival for me, without church, but with the Sunday Times.
Yeah.
It's you have your coffee, you go down, get your Sunday Times, and you read it all. But it's getting thinner and thinner and thinner.
Well, the Sunday Times used to take a week to read.
Yeah, I try and make it last a week, but I just can't now because the culture section and the style section and all that sort of stuff. And the sports section is a bit rubbish these days too. Not enough cricket, that's what they need.
Yeah, there we go. Cool, good story, Will. Well done, mate.
Before we jump into the next story, I just want to loop around to that Skype story from the Register. So I found the original link, which definitely does say that there is no Skype problem, but I just want to read you the first few lines because it shows why I've gone off the Register. That terrifying, unfixable Microsoft Skype security flaw. The truth. That's the headline they chose.
Right.
Oh yeah, we patched that in October, Windows giant yawns. That's the subhead. So Microsoft has poured a bucket of cold water on people freaking out over the supposedly unfixable security flaw in Skype. And on it goes from there.
Headline grabby.
Yeah, so the meaning is clear, but God, they're awful.
Yes. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We love them to bits. They've just renewed our server and we've got the domain names renewed as well, and we'd be lost without them. So for yet another year, you will have to support UK2 because they support. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and you'll see the links through to them. And all the offer codes as well. And if you go to sign into your account, do it from britishtechnetwork.com/UK2, and we get the kudos for you returning. We give them a fair old bit of business from what I understand, so they're very happy with us. Long may it continue. If you entered the Spider 5 competition, I haven't forgotten about it. I have got the three winners out. And I'm trying to find out what's happening with the Spiderfires, whether they send them or we send them. But I'm speaking to the promoter, and I'm getting an email back from the girl saying she's out until the 27th, Greta. Until the 27th of the month, I can't tell you what's happening. So, but I will solve it. I'm on it. Don't forget. I haven't forgotten about it. Right. Okay. Time for the cool things. Starts off, Mr. Bishop.
Poop. Can you come right back around to me in a minute? Because forgot about this.
I'll
bit
do my
show.
Cool thing and then I can get it off the screen. My cool thing is the Starman live view on YouTube. This is a picture right this second of Elon Musk's Tesla flying through space, and it's well on the way to leaving Earth now and going out. So by October, this will be passing close to Mars. How long they're going to continue a camera feedback to us, I do not know. But hopefully in a second, by the time I finish talking, this will pan around and you'll see the Earth in the window, because it's a long way away now. It really is. And periodically they cut away to the flight path and show you where stage two is. And it's on the path moving away from Earth. And every day I sit and watch down the YouTube channel, and every day you can visibly see that the Earth is getting further and further away from it. I really hope that they've got enough transmission power and enough battery power to keep the cameras on for the whole loop all the way back to Earth. Now, I hope it's still sending pictures from Mars. I know there's going to be a 20-minute delay on it, but I would love to see a Tesla fly by Mars. If they haven't done that, thought about doing that, then they're absolute fools when they've got this far. They really, really should have done.
What's so... So they've sent a car into space?
Well, yes. No, that's not what's cool about it. What's cool about it is that a private company have launched a heavy payload way above low Earth orbit for dirt cheap space launches.
Yeah, that's all good. But have they sent a car into space?
Yes.
You were looking. So the choice was a concrete block to simulate a weight or something press grabby and cool. And Elon Musk, being Elon Musk, obviously went, yeah, concrete block, not so much. Headline grabby and cool.
So, yeah. Tesla car. So his original Tesla Roadster, his cherry red Roadster, was put atop the rocket, and when it hit stage two, it broke off from the pod that was holding it, and it is now flying on its way to Mars. It will get there in October, and it's on a Mars to Earth trajectory, so it will loop round constantly around the sun, but it should never collide with Earth and Mars for another billion years yet.
Is the Stig driving it? Because it
is someone who looks like the Stig, and I did tweet out, I don't mind Elon sending his Roadster up, and I know Top Gear's a bit crap now, but do they really have to send the Stig up as well?
It really does, doesn't it?
I'm sorry for doing it, Will, but when you were talking through your Mobile World Congress story, I did put the camera on just to show, because it was a really cool side view of him driving a car with his arm on the side past the Earth.
It's quite the cool pose they put him in, isn't it?
Yes, he's got his arm on the side like he's getting a salesman's suntan. And it looks awesome. It really is. And that's actually the spacesuit that the real astronauts will be wearing when they go on their trip that Elon wants them to go on. So I don't know how soon that's going to be. And it's got a reference to Hitchhiker's Guide with Don't Panic in the sat-nav.
I can see that on the sat-nav. That's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lovely touch. And they put two GoPro cameras on. There's one on the front, one on the side, and then there's one that's just pointing at the engines for when it fires, which it goes to periodically. And it's absolutely brilliant. I'm just trying to spin it out here until here we go, here comes the Earth. And this is a real view right this second. Starman is rotating, flying away from Mother Earth in a Tesla. And I think it's the best thing I've seen. The launch, if you haven't watched the launch, Greeny, watch the launch and watch the two side rockets land again afterwards. It's just unreal. Absolutely super. Yeah.
So that's real. Is it a dummy they're putting in the car then?
Well, it's not a real person, is it? No.
Well, I don't know.
They put a real person in, but they didn't realise that all the snacks would float off in his passenger seat, and they're all gone, and he's starved to death. That's why he's not moved.
Oh, well, I'm hoping he's wearing a safety belt, because that...
There's one of the shots of the thrusters that's going to...
Wow.
So that,
what's
that
even cooler than the two thrusters landing in perfect unison is the simulations from about 3 years ago. There's almost no difference in the simulations they released 3 years ago when everyone thought, of course Elon Musk is going to do that, and what he actually did. I mean, if we ignore the fact that the middle booster crashed into the ocean at 300 kilometers an hour, it was an almost unmitigated success. Mm. I mean, it's kind of amazing that billionaire without any government support really did this. I mean,
amazing. You can just see it there. It's on its way out. Look. It's starting to leave on the picture there. The Earth is just below us, just out of frame at the minute, but it's now sending its way well and truly out to Mars. The last few days it's had, the last couple of weeks, it's had a very similar view as it gets ready to slingshot, but now it's starting to move away from the Earth. It's, I say, every day you can see that the Earth does visibly seem to be a bit further away, and it's great. There you go, that's my comment.
It is awesome. What are aliens going to think when one of these cars, or the car, lands on Mars?
It doesn't land on Mars, mate. It can't land on Mars because it's not been sterilized. So
they made sure to aim. So they're going to Mars' orbit to prove they have the power, but they've aimed to miss.
Oh.
It's on a free return trajectory though. So as it goes out, it'll go round to Mars and it'll pass by Mars very close, and you'll see Mars in the window if the cameras are still working. And then it will carry on with its loop and it'll come back, and it'll come back to roughly where Earth would be. But on the trajectory that they put it on, they reckon that it'll be a billion years before it runs a risk of being collided with either Earth or Mars again.
Wow.
It's awesome, mate. You've got to watch the launch. Go to YouTube, watch the launch. It's brilliant. It's awesome.
Yes, I will do. Yeah.
Cool things then. Start us off, camps. Hello, camps.
Sorry, lost audio then.
Sorry. We got Starman's coming back into the Earth, so I just thought.
All right. I've got two if I can.
That's a cool of you, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a cool view. Love the arm out.
The arm out the side is just nice touch. The whole thing's nice touch.
This is great.
Is that real? Is that happening right now?
Yeah.
It's right now, mate. Yeah.
It's breathtaking, isn't it? It really is. That's just...
There's an RDA. You really there. Do need to check the video.
It is a long, long way away. There you go. That's the screen art right there. Right. Camps, right. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, so I've got two, if that's all right. I've just dropped a link in front. I'm not normally a fan of screen protectors for phones.
No.
I normally just put mine in a little neoprene case when it's in my pocket to stop coins rubbing on it. But this has saved me having to... twice now, my wife's dropped her phone and phoned me in a bit of a panic. I've dropped the phone. Screen's cracked. Both times, this Anker premium tempered glass screen protector has saved it. It's taken the brunt. The screen protector has cracked, but the phone underneath it's been absolutely unscathed. Really easy to remove when I've needed to. Really easy to apply with no bubbles. It's Anker. You know what you're getting with them. It's
yeah, good quality
$5.99, and it works well.
Excellent.
So that's that one. The other one I want to put in is let's put the link in. NickButters.com, I think it is. Yeah, it is. So, NickButters.com. So, it's NickButter.com. Sorry, I'll change that in a second in the chat room. So, Nick Butter is a runner, most people know that I'm a bit of a runner myself. But what Nick's doing is 196 marathons in 196 countries. Going to take him about 18 months to 2 years to do it, and he's doing all this in to raise money and more importantly raise awareness for prostate cancer. So what he's doing is a mean feat. Yeah, he's got some sponsors, and he basically wants to call out particularly to men over 40 to go and get these checks done. And obviously, there's loads of information on his website. If prostate cancer is identified early, there is a huge success rate in survival rate. If, however, it's left and not identified early, then there's a very low success rate and survival rate for it. But in addition to this, Nick's via the website is doing a podcast, and it's sort of being updated every couple of days. And what I'm loving about his podcast, there's a video feed on there as well, is in each of the countries. So he started off in Canada, he's done the Americas, South America's El Salvador, places like that. I think he's in Nicaragua at the minute. And the podcast's really interesting. There's local interviews with schools about what they're doing. I'm really enjoying the podcast. So Running the World 196 is the podcast. But have a listen, have a look at his website. It's a huge thing that he's doing. But it's a really interesting podcast that comes with it as well. And
he's an annoyingly good-looking bloke who travels the world, who's super fit. And the one thing that bothers me is he was born in 1989. Why is he not in school? Because he still should be. 1989, yeah. He should still be at school.
Absolutely.
Oh, God,
what he's doing is a mammoth task, but it's really impressive. It comes across really, really well as well.
Oh, that just pisses me right off now then.
Yeah, I'm not going to listen to him.
Young,
I'm not
thrusting, vibrant, good-looking, successful, world globetrotter.
I listened to, in the car this morning, I listened to the episode I'm on.
You've gone
what
off,
an interesting
mate.
Country that sounds like. But I'm not going to spoil it. Have a listen. Have a look at his website.
Well, you spoiled it because your audio just cut out. So.
Oh, sorry. Did you get the El Salvador bit?
No, we didn't.
All right. So it was El Salvador that I was listening to a couple of days ago when I caught on the podcast. Really interesting in terms of the country and the sort of the background and security team that are supporting him. It's interesting. The website's good. Have a listen.
Will do.
And it's for a great cause.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Bart, you're not the only one that was worried about choppiness there, so don't worry.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't you.
Can I have two cool thingies?
Yeah, go for it.
I've gone from none to two. How's that?
Yeah, that's cool.
They're a complete pair of matching apps, and they're very much with my day job hat on. So I'm not always, shooting the breeze on podcasts. I actually do work for a living in a real office and do boring, worky stuff too. And a pair of apps from the same company have really made my worky life better. And they're apps by a company called FlexiBits, and they're called Fantastical, which gives you a really powerful calendar in your menu bar.
Mm-hmm.
And CardHop, which gives you really powerful access to your address book in the menu bar. And these sound really boring, nerdy, uninteresting apps, but actually, in your day-to-day life, having a really quick and easy-to-get-to calendar, it's not a separate calendar. It completely integrates with both Office 365 and iCloud. Whatever it is you're using, you just tie it in. So it's not another calendar. It's a view of your existing calendars. And it understands English properly. So you can just click in the menu bar and start typing, meet Susan at 11 next week for whatever, and it will do it all properly. The view it gives you of your calendar is much better than the view Apple's calendar gives you. Again, the contact editing is so much easier. You'll actually use your contacts app because you don't have to go in, find the person, click edit, and then start making changes. You just type them into the little text box, and if they're a new contact, it'll start creating a new contact. If they're an existing contact, you just edit it straight away. There's no edit button. You just type. And if you want to message people, you just say, message Allison, enter, and it will do it for you. Phone so-and-so, it'll do it for you. Like, yes, it's boring, but no, don't let that stop you. These are two amazing apps that will make your work life a lot more productive. And they're both by the same company, FlexiBits, and I'm dead happy with both of them.
Excellent, mate. Good tools. Thank you. Nice, cool things. William, what have you got for us?
I got one.
Oh, you have?
I have.
Awesome.
It's called Die With Me.
Oh, go on. Are you sure you want to do this?
I know we've been making jokes about being old, but is this not going a bit far?
Yeah, I know. I suppose it could be deemed that way. But no, it's called Die With Me. And it's an app for your iPhone. I think they do an Android one as well. And there's a chat room, but you can only log onto the chat room with Die With Me when your battery gets less or is 5% or less. It's slightly grim, but lovely, really. There's a sort of camaraderie going on. So we all join the chat room, and I've only got 3%, I've only got 2%. Bye, I'm dead, type of thing. And it's really rather fun. So Die With Me, I think it costs about £2.
99 cents.
On thingy.
Yeah, it's only got 3 stars, unfortunately, but it's 99 cents in the US store. 2.9. There's mixed reviews on it, but it auto posts your battery charge level with every post that you put in. Yeah.
Yeah. And as you sort of get closer to the precipice,
all the people you're talking to are in as bad a state as you are.
Well, it's nice. There is a sort of a common love. That we know. I mean, you know what it's like. I mean, when you haven't got your charger, you run out of battery, and in this world, your phone is possibly one of your phone and your wallet, I suppose, are the most important things that you've got, aren't they? And keys, maybe, to get into your house.
Triple check when you walk out the front door, isn't it? Wallet, keys, phone?
Yeah. Or is that testicles, spectacles, wallet, and watch.
Testicles, spectacles, wallet, and watch.
Spectacles, testicles, wallet, and watch. That's the...
I have forgotten many things in life, but my testicles I have never yet left behind.
No, no, no. You're in a Catholic country, mate. You should know spectacles, testicles, wallet, and watch. It's the crucifix.
Yeah, I remember my granddad saying that.
Well, I'd take all three of them with me.
So testicles, spectacles, testicles, wallet, and watch. It's the cruciform.
Okay, now I get it. Sorry, that took me a while.
There you go.
Anyway, this has nothing to do with my
fantastic numbers of people I've offended this evening. That's the whole of the Catholic faith now upset me. I'll have Francis himself sending me a bloody email.
He has a sense of humour. He'll probably like it.
Yeah, he will. He'd love it. So well done, Will. So if you get a charger, once you get beyond 5%, does it kick you out?
Yeah, it kicks you out. Yeah.
That's brutal.
But that means you don't know. If someone vanishes, is that because they've survived or because they've died?
They've died.
But if they plug in and they get booted, isn't that the same? So you don't know whether they had a happy ending or not.
Yeah, because you've seen their battery.
I wish you'd chosen different words.
No, it auto-posts their battery level, so you see it go down and go off. So yeah.
Ah, okay.
We all sort of die together.
Hey, sorry, I just wanted to show you this, the Starman view right now. That's the best view that they ever show. They should just show that one. That's him flying past. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Sorry. Cool view.
It's just amazing. Why can't you see the atmospheric clouds?
You can. You are. Those are the clouds. The white bits.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
The white squirrely bits.
Yeah. The actual atmosphere is like paper thin around the Earth, so you shouldn't see like an obvious edge to it. It's almost nothing.
Edge of space is 50 miles. And that's where, I mean, you've not had breathable oxygen for 25 miles at that point, I think. But the edge of space is only 50 miles.
That bloke hasn't moved at all.
Well done.
He's asleep.
Well spotted. Well done, mate. Superb. Where can we get a hold of you, Bart?
You can find me at bartb.ie and my two podcasts at let's-talk.ie. It's one photography show and one Apple show every month.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Mr. Green, where the hell are you?
Will at britishmac.com, or my website is britishmac.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, which is britishmac.
Britishmac. And Camps, where would you be?
I'm Camping UK on Twitter. You can get me in the Slack room. You can see my reviews at britishtechnetwork.com/reviews. And if you're interested in any of my recent at Campion UK again.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again tomorrow with the Mac Show at 4 p.m. And we'll be crucifying another classic. This time it's Status Quo tomorrow. So do listen in for that one because it's well worth having. Will's Crucified Classics will be Christmas number one. There's no question. And we'll be back again with the big show next week on Thursday, I think. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Be soon.